How do I launch a podcast? How do I grow my audience? How can I earn money from my show? What's the best mic or recording equipment to use? The Podcast Host Academy answers all those questions and more. The Podcast Host Academy offers 22 in-depth courses, hundreds of video lessons, dozens of hours of learning, live support sessions, and more. If you want to be a successful podcaster, then the Podcast Host Academy is the way to go. Click the link in the description to find out more. Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As An Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1997's The Sixth Man. Alright guys, and welcome to the show. This week I'm going to be reviewing The Sixth Man. I do have a things I watched this week. It's gonna be a pretty short things I watched this week because, not gonna lie, May's been pretty dry. I know all that rhymed, but but I don't care. But but May's been pretty dry, man. It's like there really hasn't been anything that I've been wanting to rush out and see, or anything that I just like rushed out and watched. I did figure out something that I could review. It's a television show, but I'm not gonna talk about it yet. I'm gonna talk about this. This is something that's on my mind that I wanted to talk about this week that has been big news for, I want to say, the entire week. So, DC and the WB, Warner Brothers, announced that they're doing a Black Superman. They got Ta-Nehisi Coates to helm the Black Superman. There was somebody else involved in it, and I forgot who was involved in it. But the big thing is that Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing a Black Superman, and I don't know really. I'm not gonna say I don't know how to feel about this, but because I do have some feelings about Black Superman. For first of all, everybody thinks it's gonna be Michael B. Jordan that's gonna be the Black Superman. I know they've been talking about this Black Superman thing for a minute now. They've been talking about this Black Superman thing for a minute. And I'm not feeling it. As are a lot of people. There's a lot of people on the internet that's not feeling this Black Superman shit, and I don't blame him, because I think there's somebody else involved in this Black Superman. It's like Ta-Nehisi Coates. I don't know if they're gonna call it Black Superman. That'd be funny if they called it Black Superman. That would be the funniest thing if they called it just Black Superman. Hey, Black Superman. J.J. Abrams. I had to do a little research. Sorry. J.J. Abrams is also doing Black Superman. It's Ta-Nehisi Coates and J.J. Abrams. And just that alone, I'm like, those are not two of the best creators. You know, I'd say J.J. Abrams has a name. You know, Ta-Nehisi Coates has a name. There's a lot of those type of people. That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of those type of people out there where, like, they're just a name. And you slap their name on something. And it's just like, okay, this might be good. And then it turns out to be shit. Star Wars. Black Panther. You know, not the movie. Not the movie, like I said, but like I said, I'm not that much of a fan of the movie, you know, but it's not a Black Panther movie to me. I've already expressed my grievances about the Black Panther movie. I'm not gonna go through that all over again. I'm talking about the Black Panther comic book. Ta-Nehisi Coates was writing. It's not that good. I actually have a couple of issues of it, hoping it would get good because I like Black Panther, and it didn't get any better. It's boring as fuck. I'm just gonna say it. Ta-Nehisi Coates' Black Panther comic book is boring as shit. Cause I remember I bought a couple of issues. I went to bookstore? Barnes and Nobles. I went to Barnes and Nobles. I know. I'm like, that doesn't make me a real comic book fan. I know. But I should have went to a little comic book shop and bought my comics, but I don't give a fuck. But anyway, I went to Barnes and Nobles and I bought some comic books, okay? And they had the Ta-Nehisi Coates Black Panther comic books. I bought a couple of those. And I also bought Shattered Grid, which is like the Power Rangers comic book. There's like they were doing like, cause like they had like a mini series going on, cause there's a Power Rangers comic books, which is really goddamn good. If you're not checking out the Power Ranger comic book, you're missing out. I know a lot of people are like, Power Rangers, they're corny, blah, 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 blah. But comic books really fucking good. I can't stress enough how surprisingly good the Power Rangers comic book is. It's surprisingly good. I didn't expect it to be as good as it is, but it is. I know I'm a Power Ranger fan, and you're like, oh man, that's, I was like, even a non-Power Ranger fan, a non-comic book reading Power Ranger fan would enjoy this comic book. Guys, people that read comic books but don't like the Power Rangers would enjoy this comic book. It's that damn good. I'm not gonna stress it enough. It's surprisingly good. Go check out the Boom Studios. It's Boom Studios. I think it's Boom Studios that does the comic book. It's not IDW. It's Boom Studios. Go check out the Boom Studios Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book. It's super good. They go into storylines that you would never see on a TV show. They do things in that book, and you're like, wow, why come they couldn't do this on a TV show? You know, it's like there's adult themes in the comic book. The comic book isn't silly. It's not silly. It's like they go into things that you wouldn't see on that goddamn show. That's all I'm gonna say. It was like, and it's really good. It's really fucking good. But they were doing this mini series in the comic book. I think for like a year and a half, called Shattered Grid, and it's really good. It's like Shattered Grid is about because in the comic books there's a evil ranger called Lord Draken, which is like kind of like a clone of Tommy. It's like if Tommy got the White Ranger powers, but he was evil. Kind of like, it was like he went from being green with evil, and now he's white with evil, or something like that. The real Tommy still exists in the timeline, but there's an evil clone of him, and he went on to be this evil kind of like hybrid White Ranger, Green Ranger called Lord Draken, and he has Saba, the talking sword, and everything. And what happened is, he wants, I think, like, if I'm reading this correctly, I'm trying to remember, he wants to be the Soul Power Ranger. Okay, like he doesn't want any Power Rangers around. And like he wants to have all the power of the power grid. So I hope I'm explaining this right. So what he does, he goes through timelines and he kills other Power Rangers. Like, kills them. He kills other Power Rangers. Goes through timelines and he kills them. Like if you want to, like Zeo timeline, Turbo timeline, In Space timeline, Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, like all the other like Power Rangers series, Time Force. You know, like he goes through all of those timelines and he fucking kills other Power Rangers. I think he killed the Samurai Rangers, I believe. And like the leader of the Samurai Rangers, who was a girl. That was a girl Red Ranger on Samurai. For a little bit. She goes back to like the main timeline, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers timeline. Cause it's her and it's the leader of Time Force, Jen Scott, who's the Pink Ranger in Time Force. They go back and like I think it's kind of a thing where like they kind of warn the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers about Lord Draken. They kind of team up in all of this. And they gotta stop Lord Draken from killing other Power Rangers. And one thing he does is he kills main universe Tommy. He stabs him right in the fucking chest and they show it. He stabs him right in the goddamn chest. Like, It's graphic. He stabs that nigga in the chest. They show that shit. He's bleeding. It's not sparks coming out of his chest. No shit like that. He's fucking bleeding. He's bleeding to death. He's dead. They had a fucking funeral for him. And everything. He's fucking dead. Tommy Oliver. And so there's this big storyline, Shattered Grid. And it kind of ends in kind of like this really big like Avengers Endgame type of thing where like all the Power Rangers that are left from every other universe start, they team up with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to stop Lord Draken. It's so fucking dope. It is so goddamn dope and I recommend it. Go check it out. It's really fucking cool because if you liked Avengers Endgame, You will like Shattered Grid. If you liked Infinity War, you will like Shattered Grid. If you like the comic book Infinity War, if you like the Infinity Gauntlet comic book, you will love Shattered Grid. It's that fucking dope. And that's like, I know I went off on another tangent. I'm going off on another tangent. I was supposed to be talking about Black Superman, but... I'm just talking about how good the fucking Shattered Grid comic book is, you know, but yeah, that's what the Power Rangers universe should be right now, you know, because they're not really getting new kids watching it, you know, Adults don't like it because they're like, oh, that was something from my childhood that I threw away when I was like fucking 10. So they're not getting them. And the ones that do stick around, we kind of look like weirdos, you know, so like they really should adult. They should kind of adult, not get rid of like the core values of what Power Rangers is, but they should kind of like step it up and adultify it a little bit. And I hope that's what they're doing. Because we talked about this like a couple months ago with that guy that worked for Netflix that's about to like head the Power Rangers universe and stuff like that. But that's something for another time. But if you want to check out a good ass comic book, check out the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book. Check out the Shattered Grid miniseries that they had going on in the comic book. You will not be disappointed. But let's get back to Black Superman, because I got on this tangent because I was talking about Ta-Nehisi Coates and how booty this goddamn Black Panther comic book is. It's fucking terrible. So And this is why, like, I'm a little skeptical about what he's going to do with this Superman shit and doing a black Superman. You know, because I was talking about him and J.J. Abrams doing this, and I was like, dude, it's kind of, they just put these two, like, big names that are hot on this shit, and you're like, ugh. Because, like, J.J. Abrams didn't really do good with, he started out promising with the Star Wars trilogy. It didn't really end so well. I think I liked the two that he did a little bit more than I liked Rian Johnson's movie, The Last Jedi. Did he do The Last Jedi? That was Last Jedi, right? Because all three of those movies confused me. I'm confused about what order they are. I think Last Jedi was the second one, right? Yeah, I didn't really care for that one. Rise of Skywalker was the third one. That was the one. Rise of Skywalker was okay. It was alright. The action scenes were good, but the story was weak. You know, they brought back fucking Lord Palpatine, and I didn't need that shit. You know, like I really didn't ask for that. You know, and then they're gonna shoehorn that, spoiler alert, that Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter and all this bullshit. You know, fuck all that noise. But like I said, like, he didn't really do a good job. J.J. Abrams didn't really do a good job with the goddamn Star Wars franchise. I don't like the Star Trek movies. I'm not really a big Star Trek fan to begin with, but those movies, they're not my cup of tea. I never really fully got into anything that J.J. Abrams has ever done. Honestly, I've never fully got into anything that J.J. Abrams has ever done. Same thing with Ta-Nehisi Coates. I've never fully got into anything that Ta-Nehisi Coates has ever done. Like, he does books. They gave him Black Panther. He kind of dropped the ball on that. You know, so I'm not really expecting much from this Superman shit. I'm not really expecting much from this Superman movie. Especially a black Superman, which people are like, why do we need a black Superman? You know? People are saying that. I'm like, why do we need a black Superman? I was like, somebody even said, damn, DC, like, y'all can't even get the white Superman right. And y'all want to do a black Superman? You know, like, come on. You know? Because, like, there is a black Superman in the comics. His name is Kelvin Ellis. And he goes by the name of Val. He also goes by the Kryptonian name of Val-Zod. You know, so, like, there is a black Superman that exists. But they're not using him. They're using Clark Kent. They want to make Clark Kent black is what they want to do. And I'm not for that shit at all. I'm not for it. Because I'm really tired of all this race swapping bullshit. You know, like, if a character's originally white, just make it white. I don't give a fuck. I really don't care. I don't need you to validate me. I don't need you to validate me by taking one of your white characters and making them black. You know. Because, like, that's what they do. If it's like, I mean, like, there are black characters that have taken the mantle of white superheroes, you know, because currently you got Sam Wilson, who's Captain America. He's black, but that made sense. You know, that made sense. He's been chilling with the original Cap for years. He's been rocking with him for years. Like, so, like, he was. If Steve Rogers wanted to step down and not be Captain America anymore, he was the obvious choice to be Captain America. You got Miles Morales as Spider-Man. That made sense. I wasn't really mad at that. You got John Stewart, Green Lantern. I'm not mad at that. You know, because he's not even, like, the only Green Lantern in that universe. You still got Hal Jordan. You still got Kyle Rayner. You still got Guy Gardner. You know, like, there's, what's the other one? Jessica Cruz. You got Simon Baz.
You know, there's a bunch of Green Lanterns. Like, he's not the only Green Lantern out there. You know, there's a bunch of Green Lanterns. So that would make sense. But just to fucking race swap a character like Johnny Storm. When they did that Fantastic Four movie and they just race swapped Johnny Storm for no fucking reason. Didn't make any goddamn sense. You know, didn't make any goddamn sense. Race swapping and gender swapping Iron Man. You know, like, doesn't make any fucking sense. Who is this broad? She came out of nowhere. Is there anybody else that they fucking race swapped? Trying to remember. Goddamn, I can't remember them all, but yeah, man, I didn't need that shit. I didn't need a black Johnny Storm. I really didn't. You know, I was cool with white Johnny Storm. You know, white Johnny Storm can stay. You know, I hope Marvel does it. I really hope the MCU, they don't do that shit. I really hope, because they could be on some goddamn social justice warrior bullshit, some white guilt bullshit too, and make Johnny Storm black too. Next thing you know, it's like the kid from fucking Blackish playing Johnny Storm. You know, like, they do some shit like that. Or they can even make the Invisible Woman black. Everybody thinks it's gonna be Emily Blunt as everybody thinks it's gonna be like Emily Blunt as Invisible Woman, and it's who's a hot black actress? I can't even fucking think of it. Like, they're just like fucking Zazie Beetz or some shit. You know, let's think of Zazie Beetz. You're like, it's Zazie Beetz is fucking the Invisible Woman now. You know, you're like, they could do some shit like that. Marvel is not above that shit. They are not above, oh, let's just go and race swap a character. They race swap Baron Mordo. I was cool with that. Make it Baron Mordo black. I'm not, like, it's cool. Make it Jimmy Olsen black. I didn't give a fuck. They made Perry White black. Didn't give a shit. Iris West is black. I don't really give a fuck. You know, I don't really care. Like, they made Iris West black. I don't give a shit. You know, she's fucking Flash's girlfriend. Who gives a fuck? But, you know. But, and then, like the race swapping Catwoman, you know. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. You know, but I really don't need a black Superman. I really don't. I don't care about that. You know, can we just have characters that are black already and give them movies? You know, let's give Cyborg a movie. Give Vixen a movie. I was thinking about a character that's like Superman in black, Icon. Let's give Icon a movie. Icon and Rocket from Milestone Comics. Give them a movie. Like, Icon is pretty much black Superman anyway, for Milestone and DC. You know, like just give Icon a movie. Are you afraid that nobody knows who the fuck Icon is? That didn't stop Marvel. You know, and that's the thing I hate about DC, man. DC does not like to take chances. They don't like to take chances at all. Because that's what the MCU did. That's what Kevin Feige did over there at Marvel. He took chances. Nobody gave a fuck about Iron Man before the Iron Man movie came out. Nobody cared. I'm gonna say, like, nobody gave a shit about 70% of the fucking characters that got movies in the MCU. Nobody gave a shit about Iron Man. Nobody really gave a shit about the Incredible Hulk. You know, I mean, like, he's the most popular one. He's the most popular character that they had, but his movie wasn't all that good. Let's be honest. They didn't give a shit about Captain America, Thor, the Guardians, Black Panther, Ant-Man. Ant-Man got a movie. Ant-Man has two movies, bro. Ant-Man has two movies. You know, like, there's a lot of, like, misfit toys that Marvel took and made fucking popular and made movies out of them, and people went to go fucking see them because it's not about the characters. It's not about the characters. It's about the quality of the goddamn movies.
Like, if you make quality movies, people are gonna go fucking see them. And that's what DC's not doing. DC is not making quality shit. No, the Batman versus Superman shit, that shit was jumbled as fuck. Justice League before the Snyder Cut, jumbled as fuck. Even like the last like couple of minutes of the Snyder Cut is kind of a little whack. But I was like, Man of Steel ain't that good. You know, like, there's a couple of Aquaman's okay. The three that I do like, Aquaman, the first Wonder Woman, and Shazam. Those are the three that I do like. But Suicide Squad was a jumbled piece of shit. You know, they tried to make the Suicide Squad popular, but they made a shitty movie. It wasn't quality. And now they gotta try and do it again with the second Suicide Squad movie. I think this one's gonna be a little bit better because it's directed by James Gunn, and he's a guy that already did Guardians, so like he knows what it's like to make a D-list superhero team popular. So that's what they had to fucking do, you know. But that's why I say, I'm like, make characters that nobody really sees, make them popular, you know. Like, I would love to see an Icon movie. I loved Icon growing up. Like, Icon's fucking dope. Give him a fucking movie. I bet you Blue Marvel will get a movie. You know, I bet you anything that Blue Marvel gets a movie before Icon. Blue Marvel is a Marvel superhero. He's kind of like a black Superman himself. You know, he's kind of like that as well. I bet you Blue Marvel gets a movie before Icon. I bet you. Cause like DC doesn't like to take risks like that. They just go stick with where everybody knows Batman, Superman. Oh, people know Wonder Woman. Oh, people know Aquaman. You know, like they trying to make this Flash movie. They trying to make a Green Lantern movie. You know, and that's all cool. But like, let me get a Plastic Man movie. Let me get a Blue Beetle movie. Let me get a Booster Gold movie. You know. You know. Let me get a fucking Swamp Thing movie. You know, let's do Swamp Thing. Let's do Teen Titans now, you know, in live action. You know, they was gonna do New Gods, but then they canceled that. Let's do fucking characters that nobody fucking knows now, you know? Let's do characters like that. Let's do Zatanna. You know, let's do Mr. Miracle. They probably would have been in the New Gods. You know, Mr. Miracle and Big Barda. You know, let's do Birds of Prey properly. You know, let's do that shit right. You know, they're just afraid to take risks. They're afraid to take fucking risks. And the biggest risk they're doing, we don't even fucking want Black Superman. Nobody wants that shit. Nobody care about that. That's all I'm saying. Nobody cares about Black Superman. Nobody wants Black Superman. You already got black characters in your DC catalog. You got Black Lightning, you got Vixen, you got Icon and Rocket, you got Static Shock. You know, you got fucking black characters. You got black. You got Green Lantern. You got John Stewart. You know, like, you got black characters in your fucking catalog that you can fucking make movies out of. And you're not gonna fucking do it because nobody knows them. You know, you know, because nobody fucking knows them. But yeah, man, I'm just saying, I'm like, this Black Superman shit, I just feel like it's pandering. I just feel like, that's what I feel like. I feel like it's some fucking pandering ass bullshit. You know, it's like, oh, we gotta give something to black people. It's like, you wanna use one of our black characters? No, let's just make Superman black, you know? It made no goddamn sense, man. It really doesn't. I'm just tired of all the pandering bullshit from both companies, from all companies. You know, you ain't got the race swap a character
to make me feel good. And you ain't doing it to make me feel good. You're doing it to make yourself feel good. That's what you're doing. But that's all I got to say about the Black Superman shit. Moving on. I watched a sitcom recently that debuted on Netflix. It's a sitcom called The Upshaws. It stars Mike Epps, Wanda Sykes, and Kim Fields. People don't know who Kim Fields is. She was Tootie on The Facts of Life. She was Ray Jean on Living Single. You know who Kim Fields is. Fuck. like, you should. But she's been on TV since, she's been on TV forever. So, like, you should know who the fuck she is. For younger people, you probably know her as she was on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. You know? For younger people that don't know who she is, she's the actress chick from Real Housewives from Atlanta. So that's how younger people probably know her as. But yeah, so right now the sitcom's like actually kicking ass on Netflix. It was number one on Netflix until there's a new movie out called The Woman in the Window, which I haven't watched yet. I'll probably get around to watching that, and I'll probably talk about that next week. I don't know, but I think Amy Adams is in it. Yeah, it's a movie called The Woman in the Window that came out. So that will probably that took the number one spot because it was in the number one spot for Netflix, and then like Woman in the Window took it, and now it's number two. So, but yeah, man, sitcom's doing damn good so far. And I'll be honest with you, like, I enjoyed the show. Because I remember actually watching the trailer for the show. And I was like, this look like going to be some corny ass, like, fucking. It looked like the trailer makes it look like a fucking Tyler Perry sitcom. I thought it was going to be like some fucking corny ass, like, Tyler Perry shit. You know, like, fucking House of Pain. What's the other one? Was it Meet the Browns? You know, is that what it's called? Meet the Browns? I thought it was going to be on some fucking House of Pain, Meet the Browns shit, but it's not. It's actually pretty fucking good. It's actually pretty fucking adult. And there's another, because there's two other sitcoms on Netflix that are black. Because you got, what's that shit called? Family Reunion. That was Tia from Sister Sister. I haven't watched an episode of that. I'm like, it's something that didn't appeal to me. I was like, I don't know about all that shit. And plus, it's in the kids section because like every time I like fire up Netflix for my daughter, I got my daughter like a kid subscription to Netflix. You know, like they got the little kid bubble that only the kids could go to, and that's in there. And I'm like, okay, I definitely won't like that show. I definitely won't like it. And then recently, Jamie Foxx had a sitcom on Netflix called Dad Stop Embarrassing Me. And I've been hearing terrible things about that. You know, I've been hearing that it's not that good. So I was very skeptical. I was very skeptical about this Upshaw shit. This Upshaw show. And because, like, I saw the trailer, and I was, like, looking at the trailer, and I was like, this shit gonna be corny. This shit gonna be corny as fuck. But I was thinking, I was like, I like Mike Epps. I like Wanda Sykes, and I like Kim Fields. You know, I like all three of them. Like, they're all serviceable. And I'm gonna give it a shot. You know, like, I was just like, I'm gonna give it a shot. Because, like, they're all serviceable. You know, Mike Epps could be funny. Wanda Sykes could be funny and... Kim Fields is not that bad of an actress. And, like, she's done the sitcom shit before. You know, and she's really good at it. She knows how to do sitcom timing. Like, she's been doing it for, like, the past, like, 40 years. So, you know. Yeah, that's how old she is. But, never mind. But, yeah, she's been doing it for, like, the past 40 years. So, she knows sitcom timing. She's a fucking pro at it. So, like, I'm not gonna worry about it. And like I said, Wanda Sykes, Mike Epps, they're funny. So I watched the show and I gave it a shot, and it trounce my expectations and more. You know, because like I thought this shit was gonna be corny, and it's not corny at all. It's very real. This shit is real and raw. You know? It's a fucking raw ass goddamn sitcom. Cause like there's some episodes on here. There's some episodes on here that you're like, oh shit. Because Mike Epps plays a guy that owns a garage. He's like a mechanic. He fixes cars, and he goes and like he has his wife played by Kim Fields, and they have three kids together. They have like two girls. They have like a teenage daughter and a little daughter. Like she's like 6 years old, I think. And then they have like a adult son who's like I want to say motherfucker like 25. I want to say he's like 25. And like they have those kids, but also Benny, played by Mike Epps, that's his name, Benny. Benny has a child out of wedlock. He has a child out of wedlock with another woman. And that kind of like puts a rift in the marriage, the Upshaw's marriage, you know. And Wanda Sykes is on the show. She plays Kim Fields' older sister, who's like, she's just this foul mouth. Like, she's really foul mouth on this show. Like, I didn't expect there to be so much cursing on this show. It took me by surprise how much cursing on there. They say all the words. They say bitch, motherfucker, fuck. They say shit. You know, they say all the words. You know, so they say all the goddamn words. Even the kids curse. So, like, even the kids, like, they throw some shit out there. They throw some curse words out there. And shock me. But it's like, yeah, Benny has an outside kid. And, like, it's kind of like put a rift on him and his wife's marriage. So, like, because, like, he's trying to be in that kid's life, who's also, like, a teenager. I think it's kind of a thing where like, I think the teenage daughter and the son that he had, they're kind of like close in age. So like, that's when he kind of stepped out on his marriage around that time. So, but yeah, man, they go there. They touch on that. They touch on like fucking outside kids. They touch on, there's an episode where, Benny steals money from his wife. You know, like they fucking go there. Like they talk about homosexuality because like their oldest son is gay. You know, like they touch on that. You know, like they touch on a lot of shit, and it's not like some episodic shit. Like the episode where Biddy takes his wife's money that she's been saving up because she's been saving up to go back to school or take a test or something like that. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. And she's like, so like she's been saving that money up, and Benny takes that money out to fix his baby mama's car. That's what he does. And it's a really intense like scene when like the wife find, when Kim Fields' character finds out that he took her money. It's really intense, and they don't solve that right away. They don't solve that issue right away. It's not like I did something. I'm gonna give you a speech, and I love you, girl, and I'm sorry, and then like they back together like next episode. No, this fucking that shit lasts at least like four episodes. You know. Where like, cause like she kicks him out, and then like it's like the next like four or three episodes where he's just like trying to get back in her good graces, you know, like he's just trying Because, like, you would think, oh, yeah, the next episode, he's going to get back in the house. They're going to be back together, and there's going to be some more fucking, like, oh, sitcom shenanigans. No, 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 that doesn't happen. That does not happen. You know, like, that shit lasts a good three episodes, good three or four episodes, I want to say. Because I think, like, this the problem starts at episode six, because it's only 10 episodes. That problem starts in episode six. And from like seven, eight, and nine, and ten is like all about that, you know, because like he's out the house, he's sleeping in his garage, he's doing, and then he tries to get back in the house, he gets back in the house one episode, and then he thinks he can like get back in the bed with her, and she's like, nah, nigga, you sleeping in the couch. They even say nigga, actually, you know, that's another word, nigga. Like they throw that nigga around a lot too. That N-word. But yeah, man. I was very surprised by this show. I was very surprised at how like real they go with this show, even though it's not a what you might call it. God damn it. It's not a single camera sitcom. I mean, it's a multi-camera sitcom. You know, where no, multi-camera sitcoms are like Modern Family and Blackish, right? I'm trying to remember which ones are which, you know. You know, so the television lingo. But it's like a traditional sitcom. It's like a Family Matters or a Martin, you know, in that type of like black sitcom vein. You know, it's like that. You know, like where there's like. But it's like a live studio audience. There's a live studio audience reacting and laughing and going, ooh, and all this shit. You know, like, it's one of those traditional sitcoms. It's not like a Blackish. It's not like a Modern Family or an Office where it's just like, oh, there's nobody here. It's not like one of those, like a Parks and Recreations or a 30 Rock or something like that. Where it's just like, oh, we're just going to act and there's no studio audience to react. You know, like, it's not like that, but it's good. It's a really good show. There's nothing else I can really fucking say about it. You know, like, I highly recommend it. Check it out. I hope it comes back for the second season. I mean, like, it's doing really well on Netflix. It's doing, like, damn well on Netflix. I think there was, like, even, like, an after show for it that they did. I didn't watch it because I'm like, I don't really do shit like that. I'm like, because, like, you know how when Walking Dead was hot? You know when Walking Dead was hot and they had the Talking Dead? I never stuck around for Talking Dead. You know, like, and they got like the After Buzz shows and all. Watch What Happens on Bravo after all those goddamn reality shows and shit. I've never been the dude that watches those shows. You know, because I'm like, I just want to watch the show, let the show breathe. I don't want to talk about the fucking show. I don't want to see people talk about the show. I don't want to see people react to the show. I don't want to see the actors that are on the show react to the show. Cause I just want to see them as the characters. That's it. That's all I want. But yeah, man. I really hope it gets a second season because the show ends on a goddamn cliffhanger. It ends on a goddamn cliffhanger. You're like, oh shit. Now I gotta wait till like probably next year. Hopefully to see where this cliffhanger goes, you know. But highly recommend the show. It's very good, very funny. It goes to places that I didn't think it would go. Very good show. I'll be back with my review for The Sixth Man right after these messages. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean, every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with the code POD15. Follow the link in the show notes and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine. All right, guys, welcome back to the show.
The Sixth Man, 1997. Let's talk about how I saw the movie as a kid. I saw this movie randomly on cable. I do remember actually wanting to see the movie as a kid, but like it wasn't like a really like a priority. You know, it wasn't like one of those like, oh, I gotta drop everything. You know, like, I gotta drop everything I'm doing and go to the movies and go see The Sixth Man. No. No, it wasn't that. You know, like it was just like, if I see it, I see it. If I don't, I don't. And when I did see it, I do remember thinking like, oh, this is a very colorful movie. You know, like I just remember just seeing like all the bright colors and shit like that. You know, and like, oh yeah, and I think that's how I think, oh yeah, I like this movie. But like, you know, like I was also 11, you know, so when I saw this movie, so like, oh yeah. Or was I 12? I think I saw it like, I didn't see it initially when it came out. I think I saw it like randomly on cable. I think like maybe a year later, I think in like 1998. So I was like 12. So I was 12 years old when I saw it. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, this is okay. It's colorful. Let's talk about the production of this movie. This movie was directed by Randall Miller, who also directed House Guest. Actually, I don't know if I talked about that because I don't think I was talking about who directed movies at the beginning of this podcast. So, but like he directed House Guest because I also reviewed House Guest. Go check it out; it's in the archives. And he directed Class Act, which is a movie I hadn't gotten to yet, but now I probably will in the near future. Another fun fact about Randall Miller, he was convicted of manslaughter in 2015. Hey, that's another fun fact about Randall Miller. What happened was, I believe he was filming a movie, and I think his camera assistant got killed on the set. I think they were like illegally filming somewhere. Actually, they were actually like illegally filming somewhere, on like a railway or something. And I guess she got hit by a train. Like the camera assistant got hit by a train, and so he got charged with the shit. He got charged with involuntary manslaughter. And he got sentenced to 10 years in prison, but he only served 2. That's the thing. He only served 2, and he had to pay like a $20,000 fine. That's what happened. So, yeah, he has a criminal record. That happened. The script was written by Christopher Reed and Cynthia Carl. Don't know them. The movie got a Rotten Tomatoes score of 23%, which, you know, the type of movie this is, that's okay. The movie had a budget of $11 million and it brought in $14 million at the box office, so this is practically a bomb. But I just want to say, I can't believe I'm defending this movie, but to his defense, it came out in March. And March in 1997 was very different than what March is now, what March went on to become to be, because really now, you can put out a movie at any time, and it could be a blockbuster, because there used to be a time where, like, it actually mattered when you put a movie out. It was like, put a movie out, because at first it was like, as long as I've been alive anyway, I don't know what it was like before I was alive, it was like, you put a movie out in June to September, like, cutoff point was September, you know, like from June through August, there was summer movie blockbusters was the thing, and like June through August is when everybody was gonna go see the movies, because kids is out, you know, I think like work is a little bit lighter, you know, everybody's like going, like people taking their kids on vacations and all this other shit. Kids going to summer camp and all this stuff. And so everybody wants to go and see a movie. It's hot. Everybody wants to sit in a cool movie theater. you know, and all of that. And then, like, it was October to December. You could put a movie out and it would do good. But back in the day, it was like, you don't put a movie out in January. You don't put a movie out in February. You don't put a movie out in March. It used to be April as well, but like that summer movie season started moving up to April. It was like, oh yeah, April is summer movie season. But it was like, nigga, we still in spring. So but they were like, nah, it's summer movie season. So like it was that, and then like it started just being, you know, January, February, March. You don't put a movie out. If you want your movie to do well, you don't put your movie out there. Because, like, it's not going to do well. And then it was, like, September. September, you don't put a movie, like, you don't put a movie out at, like, towards the end of August to September because kids are going back to school. But, like, you got October for horror movies. Horror movies do gangbusters. They do well in October. You put a movie out like that. And then you put, like, holiday movies and like movies that you want for Oscar contention out in like November and December. Like, so like your movie's gonna do well in November and December because like there's holidays, you know, kids are gonna be out of school again. And then like you're gonna have relatives, you're like, oh, let's go to the movies on Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, like. But back in the day, it wasn't. Back in the day, because like it started Memorial Day weekend, because in May, and then it just started moving towards April, where it was like, let's do something for Easter as well. And then you got March, February, January. And it was like, back in the day, it was like, that was a no-no, you don't put a movie out. And then a little movie called Deadpool came out, you know, and changed all of that shit, you know. Where it was like, yeah, let's put a movie out in February, you know? And then, movies in March started doing good. You know, like, for example, like, Kong Skull Island made a gang of money in March. You know, so, like, you started putting movies out in March, and now it's starting to be January, because recently, Bad Boys for Life did good in January. You know, so, like, that made money in January. So, like, you can technically, literally put a movie out at any time right now and it would do well. You could put a movie out in September. I think it like even like you could put a movie out in September now and it'll do well. You know, because people just want to see movies now. They don't care what time it is or nothing. It's just like, we just want to see a movie. You know? And if it's good, we're gonna go fucking see it. That's it. You know, that's how it is. It don't matter when that movie's coming out. Like, September is still, the end of August to September is still kind of a death slot. Kinda. Because I'm trying to think of a movie that has done well at the end of August going into September. I'm off the top of my head right now, I can't think of a movie that's done good in September. September is usually, I think that's like the only, that's the only month where movies don't do well. You know, I think you got Shang-Chi coming out this September. That might change everything, you know, because like, I think Shang-Chi is coming out in September. And that might change it up, because Marvel could put a movie out anytime they want to, and, like, people are gonna go fucking see it, you know, it could be anytime, they were like, we're putting a movie out on Arbor Day, it was like, it's an Arbor Day smash, you know, they really don't give a fuck, because it was just like, Marvel, go see it, when's it coming out, does it even matter, you know, go see it, you know, but, yeah. But back then, March was not a good time to put a movie out in 1997. Let's talk about the plot now of this movie as I'm going over the schematics of fucking how movies work. But anyway, let's talk about the plot. The movie follows brothers Kenny and Antoine Tyler. They're played by Marlon Wayans and Kadeem Hardison, who play basketball for the University of Washington. Antoine dies of a heart attack on the court, but he eventually comes back as a ghost to help the team win.
Let's talk about this goddamn movie. Goddamn. I got a rule when I review movies on this show. That is, if I have to watch it twice, it's boring. This movie falls into that category. This movie is a big sleeper fest, man. All I got to say is, like, if you're having trouble falling asleep, put this movie on. It'll help you fall right to sleep. it'll help you fall right to sleep, because nothing interesting happens throughout this whole goddamn movie. Like, the only interesting thing that happens is Antoine's death, because there's some stakes to it. It's like, oh, wow, he died, and that's it, pretty much. It was like, that's it. But, like, other than that, it's like, this is like any other paint-by-numbers sports movie. You have the main boring lead, which is Marlon Wayans, who's just fucking, sleepwalking throughout this whole movie. He's, like, sleepwalking. He's just, like, walking through it, just not giving a damn, you know? He's just like, this is just a paycheck for him, man. He's like, I can go make me another movie with my brothers, you know? This is just a paycheck for me. There was a time in, like, the late 90s where, like, they were just putting Marlon Wayans in everything, and, like, he was just getting a paycheck, you know? Because there was actually a point where he was supposed to be Robin in the 90s Batman movies. I think they signed him for Batman Returns. He didn't do it. Then I think they were going to bring him back for Batman Forever. They're going to bring him back for Batman Forever. He got paid for it. I think he said they put him in a suit. The same suit that Chris O'Donnell wore. They put him in that suit. They fitted him and everything. He was actually in the Robin costume. And they decided not to use him. And then they cast Chris O'Donnell. But he still got paid because he was Robin for a little bit. And, like, he just fucking cashed a check, pretty much. You know, like, there was a time where, like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I know a lot of people just shit on that. It's like, people was just like, man, you just in this movie for the paycheck. It's like, motherfucker got to pay his bills somehow. You know, like, motherfucker got to support his family. You know, like, he's like, this is a job, motherfucker. Shit. It's like that story that John Singleton told when he was working on Pee-wee's Playhouse, where, like, he saw Lawrence Fishburne there. Lawrence Fishburne was Cowboy Curtis on Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I think, like, John Singleton was, like, a gripper or a best boy or something like that. And he said he saw Lawrence Fishburne there, and he was like, damn, Lawrence Fishburne. I think Lawrence Fishburne had just came off of doing School Days, and, like, he was in Apocalypse Now. He was in, like, a bunch of things, and I think that was, like, the two things that he mentioned. Dude, he was like, damn, Lawrence, what you doing here? And he said, you were in Apocalypse Now, you were in School Days, what the fuck are you doing here? And and Lawrence said, working, motherfucker. You know, that's what the fuck I'm doing here. Like, they can't all be classics, shit, you know. And I love that. And, like, I kind of stopped judging actors for what they do for money, you know. Because even look at a guy like Robert De Niro. You look at a guy like Robert De Niro, he's doing all these shitty movies. He's doing all these crappy ass movies, but he's got an ex-wife to support, and he's got kids, and he's got grandkids. You know, like he's got a whole family that looks up to him. You know, like he's got an ex-wife that has a fucking like fantabulous lifestyle that I've read, you know. So he has to pay her, you know, and like then he has grandkids and he has kids, you know, like I think he still has like kids that he has to take care of that are like still like under the age of 18, you know. So like he has to take care of them, and he has, and then like I said, he has grandkids he probably wants to spoil, you know, like he's just gonna be doing movies. He's gonna be doing movies that people don't like. You know, like he's gonna be doing movies like that. And that's just the bottom line of it. Like sometimes you just do movies for the check. You know, sometimes you just do TV shows for the check. That's just what it is. Like that's just what it is. And so like I'm not gonna like judge Marlon Wayans for being in a paycheck, era of his career, you know. I won't judge anybody for being in the paycheck era of their career anymore. I used to do that when I was younger. I was like, man, why is this motherfucker doing this movie? He's too good for this. And I was like, oh, now I'm like, oh, this motherfucker probably has a fucking mortgage to pay, some shit like that. It's like with a fucking Michael Caine. Like when Michael Caine did Jaws the Revenge, he was like, he didn't do that for art. He did that to fucking pay his fucking mortgage. You know, I think he even said that. He said, Jaws the Revenge paid for my mortgage, is what he said. Because sometimes it's not for the art. Sometimes this shit is just work, you know. And we have to respect actors for that. Just for getting their money, getting their goddamn paper. You know, sometimes you just gotta do that. And like I said, not gonna shit on Marlon Wayans for doing dumb things for money, for doing paycheck movies. You know, I'm not gonna shit on anybody for doing a fucking paycheck movie ever again. Cause like I said, used to do that, not doing it anymore. But now I'm running in circles. Okay, but yeah, but like, yeah, he's just sleepwalking through this movie. He's just doing this movie for paycheck. You have like the run of the mill quirky teammates, you know, you got like the fucking, the dumb big guy, you know, all this shit, you know, just all your run of the mill, like quirky teammate characters. Speaking of teammate characters, this is also the third Wayans movie in a row that I've reviewed with Chris Spencer in it. Because Chris Spencer's in A Low Down Dirty Shame. He's like the cop that gives Keenan Ivory Wayans' character the file at the beginning of the movie. Like the kind of like the tail end beginning of the movie. You know, like it's like when they're really getting into the movie. He's in that part. And like Keenan gives him the tickets, you know. He's like Garrett Coleman and Mr. Bojangles. What the fuck? You know, like that's Chris Spencer. He's also like the positive brother in Don't Be a Menace. You know, so like that's Chris Spencer. I can see how he can be in all these movies. Probably really close to the Wayans family. You know, they're all in the same business. You know, they all do like stand up comedy, and so they're probably like, yo, man, Chris Spencer, that's my boy. Let's put him in some movies, man. You know, so like they looking out for their boy, you know. So like I'm not gonna fucking judge him for that. That this is like the third movie I've seen him in. The next movie, I know I'm not gonna see him in. Because I don't even know if he was in the business at this time. But I'll tell you guys what movie I'm doing after. You know, I always tell you what movie I'm doing after this. But yeah, I was just pointing that out. That I was like, God damn, Chris Spencer is in this too? You know, so I was like, fuck. But but yeah, man. Like I said, you got all these fucking characters. You got you got the supportive coach played by David Paymer. You know, the coach is just like, I'm worried about you. You're gonna throw your career away for blah 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. You know, you got that guy. And you also have the boring love interest
who you know is the love interest because she's the only woman in the goddamn movie. And that has the pleasure of being played by Michael Michelle. Yes, there's a woman. It's a woman named Michael Michelle. Which, I mean, like she's pretty. You know, she's a pretty woman. She's a beautiful woman. But I'll get to her later. I'll get to more of her later. The acting in this movie is so mid-level. You know, like, the worst actors in this movie are the teammates. Like, the teammates are the worst actors. Because, like, all they do... Because they really ain't got lines. They got lines, but they don't execute them right. And they're mostly there to make, like, fucking just, like, these stupid reaction faces. To whatever Kadeem Hardison's character does, who's a ghost. So, like, they just react to whatever Kadeem Hardison does. You're like, what? I wish this fucking podcast was video so I could show you guys all the fucking faces they make. Just the dumbest fucking faces. But, like, yeah, they're the worst. Marlon Wayans and Michael Michelle have no chemistry at all. I was like, Marlon Wayans has more chemistry with Kadeem Hardison than he does with Michael Michelle. I mean, like, because, like, they're supposed to kiss at the end. They got, like, a kissing scene at the end where, like, he's like, oh, I finally got the girl, and he fucking kisses her. And there was no feeling in that goddamn kiss. It was like they didn't even want to fucking kiss each other, honestly. It was like, there was no chemistry there. Speaking of chemistry, there was this, like, one bald dude. One of his teammates is, like, this one, like, tall, black, bald dude. And, like, he's always touching on Marlon throughout the whole film. he's always, like, grabbing Marlon. He's, like, he, like, on some fucking, like, it's, like, some fucking homo thug shit. You know? You know, like, how homo thugs be, like, holding each other and shit. I was like, this nigga was on a fucking homo thug tip. And I was like, yo, man, it's kind of uncomfortable. But just come out, dude. Just say you're gay. You know, it's okay. Say you're gay. That's it. That's all you got to do. But and speaking of Kadeem Hardison, let's talk about Kadeem Hardison. Kadeem Hardison was very over the top in this movie. It's nothing against Kadeem Hardison because I like Kadeem Hardison. I like Kadeem Hardison as an actor. I always felt like he should have been bigger than what he was. But he overdoes it here. Like, he really overdoes it in this role. Like, he's doing fucking Joker acting here. And like I said, I always felt, because, like, Kadeem Hardison, every time I see Kadeem Hardison in a movie, every time I see Kadeem Hardison and stuff, and I was like, dude, that dude should have been bigger. That dude should have been bigger than what he was. And, like, hot take of the episode, everybody. I always thought that Will Smith took Kadeem Hardison's career. I know you're like, what? What the fuck are you talking about? That's why I call it a hot take. Because it's just, like, something you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I always thought that Will Smith took Kadeem Hardison's career because they're very similar in personality. Very fucking similar. They're very kind of like these, like, too cool for school, like, but kind of silly guys. They could be serious too. You know, they're both those type of guys. You know, they're always like they try to be cool and shit. You know, like, they're both those type of guys. And, like, I've always felt that Will Smith took Kadeem Hardison's career. I don't know what Kadeem Hardison wouldn't do in order to be where Will Smith is, but obviously Will Smith was willing to do that, you know, so, in order to go to the heights that Kadeem Hardison didn't. Cause I always look at Will Smith and I was like, dude, I'm like, that should be Kadeem Hardison. You know, Kadeem Hardison should have been Will Smith. Kadeem Hardison should have been in Bad Boys. Kadeem Hardison should have been in Independence Day. Kadeem Hardison should have been an enemy of the state. You know, like even fucking Wild Wild West. You know, we all got our bombs. We all got our paycheck movies that we do. You know, like Kadeem Hardison should have been in all that shit. You know, and I'm looking at Will Smith, and he's a much better actor than Will. Much better actor than Will. Will's been fucking conning us for like the last 30 fucking years that saying that he could fucking act. You know, he's really not that. You look back at his movie, he's really not that good of a fucking actor. He's really not. Kadeem Hardison would act circles around this motherfucker. He really would. He's really that damn good. But yeah, man, I always thought that. But overall, there's not much to talk about with this movie. Like, I thought this movie was very dull. I only laughed once, and I forgot what the fuck I laughed at. You know, honestly, it was something that made me laugh in this movie, and it was the only laugh that this movie gave me. And I forgot what it was already. I forgot what it was. But overall, I give this movie a 2 out of 5. That's my score for that. It's not bad, but it's not good either. It's just mid-level. It's like, it's very fucking mid. So 2 out of 5. Join me next week when I talk about 1988's I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Until next time, peace.